Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you guys are with us today. We're going to be joined by Dr. Andy Woods. It's been a little bit since we've had him with us. So he joins us today. Did you guys make it through that State of the Union speech? That was absolutely painful. It was more than painful. It was disgusting. It was unpresidential. It was lacking in decorum. It was lacking in class. It was lacking in professionalism. It is really the epitome of an old guy who's just doing really what he did as a young guy. You know, a lot of people want to make excuses for Joe Biden that, you know, he's an old guy. But if you go back and study Joe Biden's career, this is how Joe Biden has lived his whole life. We have played the clips going back in the 1980s where Sam Donaldson and so many people said, look, this guy is known for lying, constantly lying to the public, bullying people. And that's what you saw last night. That was someone who I believe is, and again, remember this is being read off a teleprompter. So his policy people, his handlers, they all knew what he was going to say. They wrote it for him. They practiced it with him. This is nothing more than more gaslighting of the American people. He wasn't just, and by the way, last night, Leo Holman and I were playing this. This is our third year to do this, let the speech play, and then we would interrupt with our commentary along the way, and you can watch that at worldviewtube.com. But this guy wasn't but a few minutes into his speech, and he was attacking half the country. And yet at the end of the speech, he called for everybody to come together and have unity. There were so many lies in this speech. But then again, this is what Joe Biden's been known for his whole life, as being a congenital liar. Lying about his grades, his ranking in his class, the various degrees he has. He is notorious for lying. And he stood there and he lied to the American people over and over. But it is even worse than that. He attacked half the country. And he labeled half the country who believe in law and order, the Constitution, borders, the idea of national law, not global law. He labeled them a threat to, quote, democracy, end quote. Which, as Leo Holman pointed out last night, when they say threat to democracy, what they mean is a threat to their new world order, a threat to their establishment, their agencies that they have hijacked. And I explained yesterday and the day before how the FBI was surrendered to the communists by denying the FBI the ability to investigate the communists like they should be starting in the 1970s. But it was all, it really all goes back to a 1961 paper by the communists and how they would do this and go after the anti-communist. And now they've taken over the country. And if you're an anti-communist, if you're opposed to their cultural Marxism, their globalism, their open borders, their LGBTQ agenda, you are a threat to democracy. But just remember what that word democracy means to them. Now, he was lying. He was lying again and again and again. And here we have more proof of this. Here's a new article out. Here it is. U.S. employment rate rises to the highest level in over 2 years. Now, Joe Biden wants you to believe that everything is great under his regime. Low unemployment, affordable great economy, cutting the debt. Yet we're getting a new number of $1 trillion every 90 days. And now again, U.S. employment rate highest level in over 2 years. Now, I wonder, again, if that report is including those who've just quit looking. Because remember, when they quit looking, they quit getting counted. So that was really a sad situation last night. Many people are asking, will there be an election in 2024? Well, that will be up to the intelligence community, largely. And it will be up to the intelligence community who is plotting World War III with Russia. Because we know it's the intelligence community that was involved in 2014 removing a duly elected individual there in Ukraine, stalling their puppet, and continuing to then crank up a war with Russia, a proxy war, the CIA, with using Ukraine as the cover. 12 CIA military bases that have been reported now in Ukraine, CIA bases. So while you have the CIA involved in color revolutions overseas, as again I warned about in the summer and fall of 2020 before the election, we went through a lot of history explaining why I feared and others feared a color revolution by the intelligence community on America in the coming weeks leading up to the November 2020 election. Well, apparently we have done a very good job, we and others, when I say we and others, or myself and others, the we, have done apparently a pretty good job of reaching the American people with our message that the intelligence community, they were hijacked by the communists. The intelligence community was hijacked by the globalists, the statists, the progressives, whatever you want to call them. And that they are carrying out color revolutions in other countries, and they carried out one in the U.S., and they're likely to continue this color revolution and hijacking of America through the election process. Apparently, the work that we have been laboring to educate people on the truth of is paying off, because look at this. This is at worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com. 52% of likely U.S. voters believe it's likely that U.S. intelligence agencies are seeking to control the outcome of the 2024 election. And this is Rasmussen. Rasmussen reports. A majority of voters think the Central Intelligence Agency, or CIA, and other government spies may be trying to pick the winner in this year's election. 52% believe this. It's likely the U.S. agencies are seeking to control the outcome of the 2024 presidential election. Yep. So the question is, will there be an election? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I have no idea whether there will be an election or not. I think the options are really this. Will there be an election or not? Or if there is an election, will they allow Donald Trump to win, or will they not be able to overwhelm the system with their fraud so Donald Trump does win? Not so much they allowed him to win, but they weren't able to prevent him from winning with their fraud, because the tsunami of voters that will show up will overwhelm their fraud. So if there is an election and they cannot rig it and Donald Trump wins, the question then becomes, what happens while he's president-elect? Now, we have talked about that. I have mentioned that many times on this broadcast. If he is president-elect, will he be able to be sworn in Washington, D.C.? Isn't that what I asked you guys a few weeks ago? Will he have to be sworn in a secret ceremony somewhere? Wasn't it Abraham Lincoln that had to ride into Washington, D.C. under the cover of darkness? Will Donald Trump be sworn in a typical fashion at the U.S. Capitol, outside, before the public, or will it be a very small group of people he has sworn in? And will he be allowed, or able, I should say, to get into Washington, D.C.? Will it be safe enough for him to go to Washington, D.C.? Or will, because we heard from Colonel Manus the other night that while President Trump was president, he said that all those protesters outside the White House, the gates of the White House, remember that when he was president and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all of them were protesting and they were throwing objects at the Secret Service and injured some Secret Service agents? Colonel Manus said the other night that President Trump was taken to the bunker. This was one of the first times this has happened that a president did that, because George W. Bush wasn't in Washington, D.C. on 9/11. So for an actual president to be taken to the bunker in the White House, this was a very, very rare occurrence. So will he be president-elect? Will he be able to get into D.C.? Will he be able to be sworn in person? What happens to the country between the time he is announced as president-elect and his swearing in as president in about the third week of January of 2025? What happens to the country in that time period? What do you think all of this has been leading up to? The speech last night by Biden on how half the country is a threat to democracy, so-called, which again, they have their meaning of that word, and then they use it to have you or the average person listening, and you guys aren't the average person, but you guys understood, I think, what he was saying. You saw through the masking term, but the average American doesn't see through those masking terms. The average American thinks, well, these people really are a threat to freedom. They really are fascists. What did we learn yesterday in our time together? That going back to 1961 in this document written by the communist, a fascist is an anti-communist. So when they call us a fascist, they mean, oh, you anti-communist. Well, they can't call us an anti-communist because a lot of people would say, well, what's wrong with being opposed to communism? But if you're a fascist, that means you're trying to shut down freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, you're a book burner, you're interested in using the government and big business to your own benefit. But that's what they are. See, they're calling us what they really are, what they really do. That's the psychological projection we warn about all the time, right? So I don't know what's coming, but I do know that these are indeed perilous times. And if I wasn't a Christian, if I didn't believe in the Bible and the truthfulness of the Bible and where my eternal soul is destined for, I would have a very difficult time watching what's happening. I have a difficult time already, but I'm able to overcome it because I realize that this too shall pass. One way or the other, this is going to pass. How unbelievers do it, I have no idea. I think most of them, much of the world, much of America, I should say, many, many, many of them have just turned off the news. They don't watch, they don't listen, they're not informed, they're just not paying attention, some of them. I don't know what percentage, but I do. I run into people who used to be very engaged who say, I don't watch the news, I don't listen to you even anymore, Brandon. I've just decided to give up. well, that's not going to work out well. But last night was a very historic speech, and that we've never had, I don't think, a president ever act like that. We'll be right back with Dr. Woods.
What would you do if your local pharmacy shut down, or there was an interruption in the just-in-time inventory of critical medications? What if the power grid goes down and you need an antibiotic? What are you going to do? Hello, I'm Brandon House. Well, that concerned me and my wife for several years, and thankfully, last year, my friends at the wellness company that include Dr. James Thorpe and Dr. Peter McCullough created the Wellness Company Emergency Medical Kit. I have four of them. That's because I have family members that I want to make sure I could provide antibiotics to in case of an emergency. You know, something very non-life-threatening like strep throat could well become life-threatening if not treated. And if you can't get your hands on prescription meds during a national crisis, well, that would not be a good thing. So I got four of these kits, so my family members have these eight vital medications. If you go to twc.health/Brannon, TWC stands for The Wellness Company, twc.health/Brannon, it will list for you the eight medications in this emergency kit and what they treat. Now, this is a real prescription from a doctor. So when you order it, be sure to then go back into your email, check your email for the paperwork you're going to have to complete and fill out so that you can get your prescription and get your emergency medical kit with these eight vital prescription meds in the mail at your front door. Again, this is a great way for your family to be prepared for the unthinkable. And with every purchase of each emergency medical kit, the wellness company donates a percentage back to our organization to help fund our broadcast. So everybody's winning. twc.health/Brannon. twc.health/Brannon. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. And again, don't forget, Crosstalk with Jim Schneider comes up at 2 o'clock Central on 139 outlets nationwide. I am going to tonight talk with, on my broadcast, I'm going to talk with Joe Wolverton, the constitutional attorney, Joe Wolverton. I want to talk to him about taxation and what our founding fathers would say about the fact that we are all being so financially raped, both with inflation, the hidden tax of inflation, as well as actual taxation, while they give money to the most perverted things in the world. It was pulled out of the funding thus far, the amendment that would have given $1 million to an LGBTQ group in Philadelphia that was involved in all kinds of choosing my words carefully here, sex parties and other things that I'll just leave it at that. But $1 million. What would the founding fathers say about taxing the American people, taking money from the American people for this kind of stuff? I think I know the answer. I guess what the question is, why do the American people put up with it? Why do we allow the federal government to steal our money, to steal what is not rightfully theirs over and over and over, to enrich themselves and that of their family and friends and special interest groups? So what would the founders say? What would they do? Then I'm going to be joined by Trevor Loudon. We're going to talk about the PRO Act. Joe Biden last night mentioned the PRO Act, which is a bill that will greatly enhance the unions and advance the unions. The unions used to be staunch anti-communists. The communists took over them. Then there's also the Freedom to Vote Act, which sounds really great, doesn't it? But this is about same-day registration, declaring the election day a federal holiday. That'll allow the unions to bus in people. And then automatic registration. And then the wording is so weird that if you obstruct someone from voting or are perceived to be doing so, you can be prosecuted. Well, the wording is so vague that basically if you stand up and speak out against election crime, I think you're going to find yourself being prosecuted. And Joe Biden was mentioning the Freedom to Vote Act. Again, notice how they name these things, Freedom to Vote. So we'll deal with that tonight. And then Susan Swift will come on with me tonight to talk about IVF. Biden was mentioning that last night. What does all that mean? A lot of Americans were scratching their head. What does that initial stand for? What does it mean? What's it have to do with the whole pro-life issue? That and more. So we got plenty things to discuss And all of that will be on demand for you to watch over the weekend as well at worldviewtube.com. But as I said, don't forget Crosstalk coming up at 2 o'clock Central with Jim Schneider on 139 outlets. You can also listen to that and follow their television network, TV30, at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Joining me now is Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods, welcome back to the broadcast. You've been missing the last few Fridays due to travel and speaking and other things. Thank you for being with us. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Good to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Did you watch that speech?
You know, fortunately, I didn't. I had an excuse. I had to go see something worse.
What was that?
I went to visit your buddy James White last night.
What?
Who was having a debate here on the issue of Calvinism with Leighton Flowers in the Houston area, and had a friend or a friend and a member of our church that had an extra ticket, so he called me at the last minute, and so I went out to watch a debate on Calvinism between James White and Leighton Flowers. I was actually going to the bathroom, and James White came out of the bathroom. And
did you introduce yourself?
No, I did not. He was in a hurry to get to the platform. I didn't realize how short he is. He's like a little troll, to be honest with you. And he kind of, you know, because
Now, I'm only 5'6", so I may have to take issue with that. Not everybody's 7 feet tall like you, Dr. Woods.
Well, he came out. I could see he was a little startled at running into someone my size.
Well, you are 6'7", right?
Yeah, I'm 6'7". Yeah. And it's a church hallway, church bathroom.
Thought Andrew the Giant. Andrew the Giant had come back to life.
But he came out and he met me, my chest as a wall, and he didn't look up at my face. He, you know, darted around me and went to his position there to do the debate. He's a very good debater, I will say that for him. But what he did, you'll be interested in this, is he narrowed the issues so significantly, just like he did with us with the mosque issue, where he brought, you know, the imam into a church.
You mean the Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imam Yasser Qadhi?
Yeah, and he came, and we responded to that. You'll remember with the text in what is it, 2 John?
Yeah,
about not bringing a false teacher into your house,
which at the time was the church.
Yeah, and James White came up with, you might recall, such a narrow interpretation of that text. He basically tried to make it sound like it doesn't apply today. Yeah. Now, he did the same thing with Leighton Flowers. He came up with such a narrow reading of John 6, verses 44 and 45, that he basically accused Leighton Flowers of not responding to his really narrow interpretation, and he declared victory. So Leighton Flowers, it was interesting, wanted to bring in all these other issues related to Calvinism, which James White, you know, really wouldn't answer. He just wanted to talk about his very... which I think is a very narrow reading of John 6, verses 44 and 45. And then when Flowers went beyond that, James White, you know, would take the mic and claim victory in the debate. And it's kind of like deja vu all over again. It's the same kind of tactic he used against us, you recall, when we criticized him for bringing a imam, you know, into a church under the guise of interfaith dialogue. So it was an education. To say the least.
How many people were there?
It was well attended. It wasn't the biggest church room I've ever been in. It was a Lutheran church. I'd never been into that church before. I would say at least 200 to 300 people. And of course it was live streamed, which is where they pick up their audience.
And was it, how many were, most of them were, I'm guessing, in White's camp, right?
Well, the guy at the beginning said, "Who here is for Flowers?" And half the room raised their hand.
Oh, wow.
"Who here is for White?" And half the room raised their hand.
Wow.
So it looked to me to be evenly divided. I will say this. James White, whatever he has going for him by way of intelligence, in my opinion, he gives up a lot because he comes across as so condescending and pharisaical. Like, if you don't see it this way, then, you know, your elevator doesn't go to the top floor. And that kind of comes out as he talks. So in spite of his eloquence, You know, I think the Bible's pretty clear that we should speak the truth in love. I didn't really sense a lot of love coming from him, just this is the way it is mindset. But I thought Leighton
But you
Flowers
know what? I didn't know we were going to go there today with this. I didn't know you were going to that last night. But that's true for most of the people in that camp of James White. I find that many of those people that follow that strain of heresy, and it is heresy. And if you guys want to watch a great sermon on this, J. Vernon McGee has a great sermon on this, on this whole concept and this idea where these people have blended justification and sanctification. And for the audience listening, this is probably new to a lot of you that are watching on Patriot.tv, but it's a very important issue. It's salvation. It's the most important issue, really, for your life. It's the issue that your eternity hangs on. But justification, instant salvation through one thing, faith. Faith, like the thief on the cross. Instant salvation through faith. And then the second one is, as we discussed so many times, after justification is sanctification, ongoing faithfulness and obedience. And these people merge the two together. And so they redefine the debate, as you say, by calling it the Savior Lord, as though, of course he's my Lord and my Savior. But they give it a title, oh, we believe in Savior Lord salvation, as though if you don't agree with their brand of heresy, then you somehow don't, you know, you have an easy believism or a false gospel. But really what they should really call it is, we believe in sanctification salvation. That's what they should really call it. We believe in sanctification salvation. We believe in justification salvation. Salvation by justification. Faith alone. Not by works, lest any man should boast. They believe in sanctification salvation. Now they would have all kinds of gymnastics to debate and say that I'm wrong. But it would just be lies and manipulation, because that's what they believe. They have merged sanctification and justification into a works. Now, if you could absolutely be sanctified immediately at the point of salvation, then the Bible would say such. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible refers to the fact that we are constantly waging a war between the old man and the new mind, that we must daily pick up the cross, that we must run the race, and we must endure. So there's the Bible is constantly filled with this message of dying to sin, fighting off sin, the old man, the new mind, which is what the whole sanctification process is about, surrendering, submitting, yielding, right? So these guys merged the two, sanctification and justification, have created a false theology. I think it's really nothing more than Roman Catholicism repackaged for the Protestant world, since they worship John Calvin, who says he got his whole theology from the Catholic of Catholics. You know, so again, that's my position, and J. Vernon McGee does a great job on it, as do many others. But I think it's an absolute heresy. Absolute heresy. I think Satan is on the side of those that teach this. And I think it has destroyed many lives, it has destroyed many churches, and it also is common among people. The attitude that you see among many of them is a very mean-spirited elitism. Well, I'm one of the elect. And I find it to be people who are very insecure, who have not accomplished very much in life, and certainly haven't accomplished what they think they should have accomplished. They therefore have to make up for their lack of success or lack of whatever it is they feel they're missing out on, love, approval, acceptance of by others. So they need to join a club. They need to join a club that automatically makes them better than everybody else to make up for their extreme insecurity. And so they join I'm one of the elect. And they start looking down at everybody else. When reality is, I'm not so sure they are one of the elect, because, and I do believe in election, but I don't believe in the Calvinist version of it. But I do believe many of them that run around claiming they're the elect, well, if they believe the false gospel of salvation by sanctification, then they're not saved. Dr. Woods?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's no way you could ever know you're one of the elect, because you have to persevere, you know, until the end of your life in good works to prove you're one of the elect. So how would you know that you've done that until your, you know, dying day. So
which is why many of them are angry, bitter people, because they have no joy. They don't have the joy of salvation. They don't have the joy of the assurance that no one can pluck you out of my hand, says the Lord.
Yeah, and it destroys the assurance of salvation,
yes,
which destroys joy. But just to give you a little context, the title of the debate was, is election taught in John 6, verses 44 and 45? And White stuck to those two verses. Whenever Leighton Flowers tried to introduce something beyond that, an issue that flowed out of that, like does regeneration precede faith? Does God elect people unto damnation? You know, an issue flowing out of the text, White would say, we're not here to deal with that. We're just here to deal with these couple of verses. And so that's why White at the end claimed victory. But I thought Leighton Flowers did a great job bringing in a lot of other things.
Well, let's go to John chapter 6. Let's do that when we come back. John chapter 6, 44 to 45. Get a Bible, folks. We'll be right back. Joining me now is Melissa House. She called me today, and she told me something, and I said, you have got to tell the audience this. They need to hear this. It's really good news for those of you that, well, are taking Bella Grace. What happened today?
Well, I went to my hairdresser, and I had not told her about this product that I've been taking, and when she was blow-drying my hair, she said, I just noticed when I was parting your hair and fixing it that you have a bunch of new hair growth and a lot of, you know, short hairs that are more curly than normal. And I've been going to this lady for probably 13 years and she's never said that to me. And I had noticed it, but for the fact that she noticed it was, I had to call Brand right away and tell him, well, I guess the collagen is definitely helping grow my hair.
But we had heard that one of the things this would do.
Well, collagen will grow your
hair. Collagen supposedly grows your hair.
Right. She said, you've never had this before. But that's not the only thing that I, it's just given me a lot more energy and really helped my hip feel better.
Your sciatic nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been taking it twice a day. It has three key ingredients we've been telling you about. Collagen, mm-hmm, which all guys need collagen too. Then it also has cat's claw, which is a very powerful anti-inflammatory, which is probably why it's helping your sciatic nerve.
Sciatic nerve, definitely.
Which Dr. Mark Miller talked to us, the formulator of this for 30 years, talked to us about that the other day. Third thing you have is the Astroreal Astaxanthin.
Good job.
Is that pretty good?
That's good.
I've been practicing. And that got the cognitive award in 2022. So, and that crosses blood-brain barrier and gets into the gut.
Right.
Whereas so a lot of the collagen you're flushing down the toilet, about 95%. This you're absorbing, according to studies, you're absorbing 95%.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, if you want more information, it's on the website. Again, it's set up under her name so they can track it and give credit back to our organization. We've explained to you the way we bring you these free shows is either through our foundation, supporting that, or through supporting our sponsors. MelissaHouse.BellaGraceGlobal.com. The testimonials are there, including the 80 clinical trials are there as well. MelissaHouse.BellaGraceGlobal.com. Our website, worldviewradio.com. I had no idea you went to that last night. You didn't tell me in advance about it, which, I mean, you don't have to, but I had no idea that you went to that this was coming. But with that being said, let's go to John chapter 6, verses 44 to 45. Would you read those for us, Dr. Woods?
Yeah, and first of all, the reason you didn't know I was going is I didn't know I was going until the last minute. So.
Okay.
I was just offered this chance and decided I could either watch Biden or watch this, and I took the lesser of two evils, I guess. But John 6, 44 and 45 says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then it says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, as they shall be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, the Calvinist, James White, wants you to believe that what happens is people, they really have no choice in coming to the Father if they're elect. They're given the gift of faith. They're regenerated ahead of time so that they can believe. And it comes from the I in the Calvinistic acronym TULIP. You know, they're irresistibly drawn to God. And so those are the only people that get saved. And they're the ones that are fortunate to be the small fraction of humanity that's one of the elect And if you weren't chosen by the Father for that ahead of time, before the world was, then you have virtually no choice.
In other words, as some have said, that we're all on the road to hell. God just picks some of us off.
Yeah, and irresistibly draws them. Really,
in other words, God created billions and billions and billions of people just so he could send them to hell, and he gets glory and satisfaction from it. That's what they teach. I've heard them do it.
Yeah. Well, Calvin said that doomed from the womb is what he said. They're predestined, double predestination. Some are predestined unto life, but the majority of people are, elected unto, damnation.
But that doesn't fit with any of the Bible that says that he desires that no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. He is not slack concerning his promises. He even's delaying his second coming so that more can come. For God so loved, no, not the elect, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, what they're teaching, again, is not in the Bible. But again, they are able to make their arguments. They're able to make up their theology and doctrine, and they feel very, very wise, but they're fools. Professing to be wise, they really are fools, and yet they feed on creating a systematic false theology that is so complex that it doesn't really square at all with the Bible, but they become very adept at defending it, which takes a lot of time and effort, which only enhances their pride that they're able to defend such craziness. And so I think the whole thing is built on not only a spiritual elitism that stems for a lot of them, their massive insecurities, but I think it also stems from their pride. And by the way, pride is where massive insecurity comes from. People that are very, very insecure about how I look, how people think of me, how people view me, that comes from pride. And this false systematic theology they've created that really takes a lot of work to be able to defend it and to wrap their lies into what seems to be truth takes a lot of work. And so they're drawn to this by the fact that they seem to be intellectual by believing it. But the reality is this is not at all built on intelligence. It's built on, I think, a lie right out of the pit of hell. What say you?
Yeah, well, Dr. Leighton Flowers wanted to surface a lot of these issues. Like you said earlier, Calvin got a lot of his theology from Augustine, or I think it's better pronounced Augustine. He wanted to go over to John 12. In fact, if you go over to John 12 just for a minute, it really helps you understand John 6. John 12, 30 and 31, I believe it is, 32. Jesus says, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw. That's the same word for draw in John 6:44. I will draw all men to myself. So Leighton Flowers, wanted to go over to that passage to help us understand John 6. And James White, during the whole debate, says you can't do that. That's out of bounds. Whereas the way I was thinking, when you assemble any doctrine in the Bible, you look at everything the Scripture has to say on the subject, not just a verse or two. So he wouldn't allow John 12 to be brought into the discussion of John 6. Leighton Flowers over and over again wanted to talk about learning, because the next verse there is about learning. It talks about who is drawn. It says in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned. And Flowers said, learning is a two-way street. It's not just in other words, it doesn't rest totally upon God, because when you learn in a classroom, the teacher is responsible to teach. And if the student just zones out or looks at their iPhone all day and zones out what the teacher says, then it's not the teacher's fault, it's the student's fault. And so Flowers was bringing this up concerning this debate, you know, I will draw all men to myself. I'll draw John 6, 44 and 45. I will draw those the Father sent me. James White was trying to make it sound like it's everything God does on his end. And yet the very definition of hearing and learning would imply, at least implicitly, if not explicitly, that the person that's being drawn has to have some kind of response, which is not allowed in Calvinism. In Calvinism, you're like a rock. You're like you're like sort of in an insensate state. And so God does everything on his end. He activates the faith of the elect. He grants regeneration so that a person can believe. So it's everything God does on his end for the elect. Yet that contradicts the very definition of hearing and learning in the next verse, which implies God does his part in conviction and the sinner does their part in responding by trusting in the Savior. So anyway, that was sort of the scope of the debate that
Let me pick up there. You say that they teach that man is like a rock, and I see that in the footnotes of a couple study Bibles where these hyper-Calvinists teach this. But that's not at all what the Bible teaches. That's what their notes teach. And just to remind the audience, the Bible notes at the bottom of the pages are not inspired, okay? They're not inspired. They're written by men, all right? But when they teach that you're dead like a rock, that no light gets through, that is absolutely contradictory to Romans chapter 1. For they know the righteous judgments of God. They knowingly suppress the righteous judgments of God. They know the righteous judgments of God, but they encourage people to do the opposite. And the Bible says that on the day of judgment, their mouth is shut because they know they're guilty, and the law exposes their guilt. So if they're dead like a rock, how could it be that they know the truth, but they suppress it in unrighteousness, right? If they're dead like a rock, why would God bother to create general revelation? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Why would he create the moral law and place it on their heart and their mind if they're dead like a rock and cannot understand any truth or have any light whatsoever? Jesus came into the world, right, to be the light of the world, and the light shines on the world. Everybody has the option through general revelation and the moral law to understand some level of truth and the light. But that's not what the hardcore Calvinist teaches. Now, I want to distinguish between your Reformed guys like Charles Ryrie, who is free grace, and these other Reformed guys. I'm not talking about those people. They would be in our camp on this. I'm talking about the hardcore who say you're dead like a rock. No light gets through until God lets that light in. And you have to be basically regenerated before you can be saved. That's not at all what the Bible teaches, and I just gave examples of it. What would they do with all that scripture, Dr. Woods?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Those kind of subjects came up. Dr. Leighton Flowers brought up the fact that James White would say the people that didn't respond are in their default mode. And Leighton Flowers corrected that by saying, no, it's not their default mode. It's their fault mode. They didn't believe not because of an inability. They didn't believe because they made a choice. And Dr. Flowers also brought up the fact that how could God hold people accountable in terms of damnation for a choice that the non-elect don't even have the ability to make the decision to begin with? And how, and you know, Dave Hunt called his book Against Calvinism, What Love Is This, you know, responding to that point. And beyond that, there's a real misunderstanding that James White and company have concerning dead. They love that passage, Ephesians 2, verse 1, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And they take a 21st century of definition of death, which basically means non-existence. And they read that backwards into the Bible, which was written in Greco-Roman times. But when you actually study the word death in Hebrew, and you study the word death in Greek, you'll find it never means non-existence. The only thing it means is separation from God. A person that's non-existent can't make a choice, but a person that's separated from God can make a choice when they come under some of these things you're talking about, general revelation, conscience, creation, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Calvinism, the variety that James White is promoting, is all emanating from a false presupposition that death means non-existence. So that's why they believe that God has to grant the rock the gift of faith, or regenerate it first so that it can believe. And the only people that receive those blessings are the small fraction of humanity that God has elected unto salvation. Everyone else is pre-programmed for damnation, and God is going to hold them accountable for a choice that they don't even have the ability to make. So Dave Hunt in his book says, what love is this? This doesn't fit with all of the other descriptors in Scripture that you already gave, that God is not willing that any should perish. In fact, Leighton Flowers over and over again quoted Ezekiel 18, which says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Rather, what pleases God is that the wicked turn from their wicked ways and live. And all the way through the debate, James White kept saying that's out of bounds because it's not in John 6, verses 44 and 45. That's a tertiary issue. And so that's how James White pretty much gamed this.
Well, why would anyone give any credence to James White when he doesn't have enough biblical discernment to know that you don't go into a church in an interfaith dialogue and seek common ground as he said he was doing? He said this is not a debate. And he admits that a Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imam was his mentor in part on Islam, and thinks that Christians and Muslims are going to have to hold hands when the secularists take over and defend each other. That right there shows you, I think, that James White has a very, very serious theological, spiritual problem. So would I be shocked he would believe a heresy and a false gospel? Not at all. We'll be back with more with Dr. Woods of Andy Woods Ministry, andywoodsministries.org.
We have slashed the shipping cost on our freeze-dried food at wvwtvstore.com. Hello, I'm Brandon House. And for this month of January and February, we are slashing our shipping by half. Half the cost gone. We're saving you half the price you would normally pay for shipping this heavy freeze-dried food, but this is for a limited time only at wvwtvstore.com. Here we are in January of 2024. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride as we go into the election in the fall of 2024, not to mention the threat of World War III, China going after Taiwan, all the military-age males that have poured over our border from Islamic nations and the CCP. Folks, do you have your preparations in order? Even the mainstream media like CBS Face the Nation's talking about a black swan event. A major national security black swan event in 2024. There's the talk of the power grid going down. Even the irresponsible FBI director told Congress that all the lights are flashing red for a terrorist attack. Well, it might be predictive programming, and they may cause it to happen or allow it to happen. But reality is, if it happens, you want to make sure you're prepared. I took about 3 days during the Christmas break to get more organized. I've been prepping since 2013, but I had some prepping gear in one closet and another in another closet. I got organized, got it all put together in the right places. I know where everything is, and then I even added to it and updated. Well, here's your chance to update your emergency supplies by going to wvwtvstore.com for the month of January and February, as we have slashed shipping of our freeze-dried food in half. So that'll save some of you several hundred dollars, but you need to take action now while we have the supplies and while you can save half on the normal shipping price. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, you can place your order over the phone if you prefer, 901-468-9357. Or for greatest of ease, just go right online, wvwtvstore.com, and get it while it lasts and half off the shipping cost. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. We'll put this up at our website, worldviewradio.com, and worldviewtube.com for many of you to watch and listen. I'm being told about a lot of emails coming in, people thanking us for this, Dr. Woods. People are very thankful, and they're very thankful to find out that what we're teaching gives them assurance of their salvation. So praise the Lord that it's encouraging some today. Let me say what we're not saying, because people always hear what they want to hear. We hear that all the time. We had a caller this week that thought that they heard me say something, and they called in. I said, well, that's not what I said. But people will hear what they want to hear. But particularly they'll hear what they want to hear when they want to hear something to be able to try to then say we were wrong by implying or saying that we said something we didn't say. So here's what we're not saying. We're not saying that the Holy Spirit is not involved in an individual's conversion, of convicting them of sin and helping them to come to the point of conversion. We're not saying that doesn't happen, are we?
Say that again, I missed that.
We are not saying that the Holy Spirit isn't involved in drawing the unbeliever, or that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict the unbeliever and bring the believer to a point of understanding. We're not saying that's not what happens. We're not saying that, are we?
Right, that's correct. In fact, that point came up a lot last night, where James White says the Spirit has to draw you so you can believe. And Dr. Leighton Flowers said amen, because when you go over to John 16, verses 7 through 11, Jesus is very clear that the Spirit is dispatched in the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they do not believe. Sin there is the Greek word hamartia, singular noun. So what the Holy Spirit does through the ministry of conviction is he brings you to the point of faith. He won't believe for you, but he'll bring you to the point where you see your need to believe in Christ. And if the Holy Spirit was not doing that ministry, no one could be saved. Because Romans chapter 3, verse 11 says no one seeks God. But the difference with the Calvinists of the variety that we're speaking of here is they think not only does the Holy Spirit bring you to the point of faith, but he actually has to believe for you. Because you don't even have the ability, when convicted, to believe anyway, because you're just like a rock in the first place, because of their misunderstanding of death as non-existence rather than separation. So the proper, what we call ordo salutis, order of salvation, is the Holy Spirit convicts the world. And as people are brought to the point of faith, which they can't be brought to on their own, they must make a decision. Some do and some don't. Those that don't, and they spend their life in that position, are damned for all eternity. But those that do are regenerated and saved. They are convicted, then they believe, then they are regenerated, born again. The Calvinist that we're speaking of here has got the whole thing backwards.
Well, and that's why you hear them going around saying, well, we'll pray for the gift of faith. Do we see any Bible verse that says that we should be praying for the gift of faith for somebody?
No, in fact, there's a very well-known Bible teacher, I won't mention his name. I have the transcript of his sermon, and that's what he tells people to do, or the sermon anyway. At the end of the sermon, he says, you know, pray for the gift of faith. Well, why would you pray for the gift of faith if you don't have the ability to believe? I mean, it looks like the corpse is a little bit more lively than what they first taught. I mean, if you can't believe, then how do you have the ability to pray for the gift of faith? And beyond that, there is absolutely no example of evangelism in the Bible. You know, take Acts 16, you know, verses 30 and 31. The Philippian jailer says to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas didn't say, pray for the gift of faith. What they said is, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then presumably they would share the gospel with their household, and their household would be saved.
Yes. You know, and what they teach is that we have to have surrendered all area of our life to the Lord. Now, do I desire to surrender all areas of my life to the Lord? I absolutely do. But you know what? I have this defect, and it's called an old man, Dr. Woods. I have a flesh. I didn't ask for it, but due to original sin and the fall of man, I have a flesh. I was conceived in sin even, right? But when I became a believer, now I have this battle between the new man and the old mind. But I desire. Now, there are areas when I became a Christian that I didn't even know I needed to surrender yet. And then after I study the Bible and I come under conviction of the Holy Spirit, then I'm like, wow, I need to conform that more to what the Lord calls of me, a believer. So do I have the desire to surrender to the Lord in every area of my life? Yes. Do I do that automatically? No, I don't surrender in every area. That's what sanctification is about, correct?
Yeah, it's a confusion of birth issues versus growth issues. I mean, in the natural world, there are people with growth problems through malnutrition or, you know, being diagnosed with some kind of disease or something. It's inhibiting their ability to grow or mature properly. But that doesn't mean they haven't been born. You can't get unborn. So the moment a person trusts in Christ for salvation, they're born spiritually. Now they have to move into the second tense of their salvation, which is their progressive sanctification. They have to be in the right environment where they're taught correctly.
But their salvation isn't based on that second phase. That's not. But that's what John Piper teaches. He says that for final salvation, we must slay sin and pursue holiness. You must, you know, that's not what the Bible says. The thief on the cross had no chance for sanctification. He didn't have the ability to go out and pursue ongoing faithfulness and obedience. He really just had justification. His life ended before he could start pursuing sanctification, true or false?
True, and just because you're malnourished doesn't mean you haven't been born. And so that's the confusion.
And also, Hebrews? Is it Hebrews where it says that some of these people, their fruit is going to be burnt, their works will be burned up like stubble and hay, but they will endure. Their salvation will endure, but their works burned up as being worthless. That was someone that was justified but didn't have a whole lot of sanctification going on, true or false?
Yeah, that's in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. And one other quick thing, this idea of final salvation, that doesn't come from the pages of God's Word, where you have to weigh your good works versus your bad works to determine if you're justified. You know where that comes from? That comes from the teachings of Islam. Islam teaches final salvation. You get to the end and you don't know whether the good outweighs the bad, whether you're going to get in or heaven or hell.
Great, great program. Thank you, Dr. Woods. Hope this was instructive. A lot of scripture today. Take care.
Have you checked out all the free programming lately at worldviewtube.com? Hello, I'm Brandon House. If you go right now to worldviewtube.com, you are going to find so many television shows ready for you on demand, like my nightly newscast, The Worldview Report, my daily radio show that's also a TV show now. That's available at worldviewtube.com. The 90-minute live show, Brandon House Live, that's available each and every day at worldviewtube.com. It cost us many, many thousands of dollars a month in streaming, bandwidth bill, and IT bills to make available these free programs. But we do it as a ministry and public service of WVW Broadcast Network. Now, one way we're able to do this is through the generous support of you through our WVW Foundation. Think of us as your conservative Christian worldview alternative to National Public Radio, National Public Television. Would you become a sponsor now so we can continue to push out free radio shows and TV shows at worldviewtube.com and worldviewradio.com? We're also looking for more regular monthly contributors. Would you consider signing up if you haven't already for a monthly contribution, $5, $10, whatever you can afford? It's greatly appreciated. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. And you'll find our phone number there if you'd like to make a contribution via the phone. Again, that's WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVWFoundation.com. And check out all the free ministry programming at worldviewtube.com. And don't forget our Sunday night church service that I've been teaching on Sunday nights since 2015. That's live 8 p.m. Central Time at worldviewtube.com each and every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. Worldviewtube.com. Brought to you by WVWFoundation.com.